Jesus stood up in the synagogue, and when he stood up, he opened the book, if you would. He opened the scroll. He opened up the Word of God to the book of Isaiah. And he read in the synagogue there, Isaiah chapter 61. You're in Galatians 3. That's not where it's. That's not what I'm quoting you. But he stood up in the synagogue, and he quoted this scripture. And here's what he said to everybody. The Spirit, capital S, of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Here's Jesus standing up in the synagogue saying, hey, I'm anointed to preach. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And this little statement, he said this, to proclaim what? Liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Here's what he said. I'm sent, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And that is what preachers are still doing today. Is that right? The Spirit of the Lord is telling us to proclaim liberty. Liberty means what? To be free from bondage to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And how do we do that? The Bible says this, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you what? Free. You know what releases us from the prison we used to be in? Truth. And when we hear truth, it gives us liberty and freedom from that prison. So what I want to do today as a preacher is proclaim to you some truth that makes you free and gives you liberty. The more you understand the Word of God, the more liberty from bondage that we have. Is that right? So Galatians chapter 3, I want to show you something today and maybe edify just a little bit, something that you already know. Look at Galatians chapter 3, and here comes some truth that will give us more liberty. Verse 21, Galatians 3:21. Is the law then against the promises of God? What's the answer? No. God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given what? Life. Verily, righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith that which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our what? Say it. Schoolmaster. It's going to teach us something, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Please look up here. I'm going to put the Old Testament law on this side. In just a moment, I'm going to put the New Testament law on that side. The Old Testament law, if there was ever a law made that could have given life, it would have been this law. But the Old Testament law to us was death. Is that right? The Old Testament and the Old Testament law was to us death. Let me say it again. The purpose of the Old Testament law was to kill us. But only through death comes life. Is that right? You have to die before you're resurrected. Is that correct? The purpose of the Old Testament law was not to justify us. The purpose of the Old Testament law was to kill our old man. Would you agree with that statement? It was a schoolmaster. What does that mean? Hey, we had not even known if there had been sin except the law had told us so. You wouldn't know there was a speed limit. You wouldn't know you were breaking the law unless there was a signpost along the highway saying speed limit 70. We would have just been driving along with no speed limit. The signpost says speed limit 70. That means if you go over that, you've broken the law. And when we say, wait a minute, officer, we didn't know. He said, did you read the signpost? You're responsible. Well, I didn't see it. Doesn't matter. We posted it. You're responsible. Right. Come on, is that right? If there wasn't anything posted, we would not be responsible. But whether we saw it or not, it's posted. We're responsible. Right. The concept of the law is it's a signpost, if you would, to say here's what sin is, because sin is a breaking of the law. Would you agree with that statement? The law in the Old Testament law is to kill us, to bring forth death. But out of death, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and what? Say it? Die. Then the life springs forth from that. Would you agree with that? The Old Testament law is not to give us life. It's to kill us, to produce life by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we all right with that statement? Stay with me and let me prove it to you, and then we'll go on. Verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by what? Say it. Faith. The concept of the law in the Old Testament is to bring us to death. Why? The law, look if you would at verse 10. Stay with me. Verse 10. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the, say it, curse. What do you mean? The Old Testament law to us is a curse. Would you agree with that statement? For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man, look at what it says, but that, say it, no man, say it again, no man is justified by the law. There's no man, no woman, no flesh justified by the law. That no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now, statement, there's nobody in this room that could keep the law. Nobody. Nobody in this room that could ever keep the Old Testament law. There's nobody on the face of this earth save one. Only one came and lived the law perfectly. Would you say his name, please? Jesus Christ. He's the only one who ever lived the law perfectly to the letter. And by living the law perfectly, he fulfilled the law. And he also became the mediator. Because he lived it perfectly. Absolutely, letter, every jot, every tittle, perfectly. Now he fulfilled the law, and he could take away the first to establish the what? Second. He took away the Old Testament, the old law, to institute the New Testament, new law. Would you agree with that? Brethren, if he would have broke one part of the law, we would have all been condemned. Yes or no?
Yes, sir.
But because he lived it perfectly, he is the Lord of the law, and he could say this. Now, I am going to take that law and take care of that. It's a schoolmaster to teach you, but look at Galatians 3, and notice what he says in verse 25. Yeah, let's start there. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a what? Schoolmaster. So the concept is this. When we start out, before we're saved, we are under the law. When we receive Christ as Savior, we are no longer under this law that was only set up to condemn us, to prove to us that we are sinners that need Christ as our Savior. But once we have received Christ as Savior, we are no longer under this schoolmaster. Now we are going to move over and be under, if you would, the law of grace, the law of faith. The New Testament, not in the blood of bulls and goats, but in the blood of who? Christ. Are we all right with that so far? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Stay right with me. We're not done yet. 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, by the way, we're going back to Galatians in just a moment. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is a very key verse, verse 8. But we know the law is what? Good. Is the Old Testament law good? Absolutely. But wait a minute, look what it says. If a man use it, how? Lawfully. Nobody should say, I'm getting to heaven by keeping the Old Testament law. It's impossible. That's using it unlawfully. The letter is to kill. The Old Testament tables of stone is to kill. The Old Testament tables of stone is not to give life. Are you with me? It's the ministration of condemnation. The only purpose of the Old Testament law is to kill us. Let me say it again so you understand. Why would God want to do that? So he could give us New Testament life by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and nobody gets to that New Testament except you go through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Why? Because he lived it perfectly, and now he's the mediator of the New Testament, and he can take away the first to establish a second. By the way, this one over here, the New Testament, is called a better covenant. Come on, is that right? So the concept is this. We have to use it lawfully. Look at 1 Timothy 1 again, verse 8. But we know that the law is good. If a man use it how? Say it. Lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. But who? But for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane. Brethren, the purpose of the law is to show us that we're sinners and that sinners need forgiveness so we can be saved by the Savior and now walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in the new covenant of His blood. What's the Lord's Supper all about? It's the new covenant. What's the institution of the Lord's Supper all about? It's His body broken and sacrificed for us. Is that right? It's the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's His blood shed for the remission of sins. Look up here. There's a controversy out there. Somebody says, it's the blood, it's the blood, it's the blood. Other people say, it's the death, it's the death, it's the death. We say, it's both, it's both, it's both. It's the death of our Lord, the sacrificial lamb without spot or blemish, but it's the blood of that lamb also, is that right? That we apply to the lintels of the doorpost of our souls, is that correct? Come on. You see, tonight we get to understand, and it's only through the Holy Spirit that we understand that we are under the law of grace. We are still under rules, if you would, but it has nothing to do with our salvation. Stay with me now. Look back at Galatians chapter 2. You're doing well. Galatians chapter 2. And by the way, if this is new to you, welcome to truth. Welcome to freedom. Welcome to liberty. Welcome, because he said we came to set the captives free. Is that right? Stay with me now. Watch, if you would, Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, and would you also do this, brethren? You're doing great. Galatians 2 and Romans 3. Can you tell I'm hyped up about this? I want to get this to you. I want you to understand it. And by the way, you'll get something in a minute that you may not quite have had before. Galatians 2 and Romans chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 2, watch what it says in verse 16. Galatians 2 verse 16. Knowing that a man is, say the next two words, not justified. Say it again. Not justified by the works of the law. What's the purpose of the Old Testament law? To kill us. To condemn us. To show us that we're sinners. That is the purpose, and we must use it lawfully. Is that right? Say it. Come on now. When somebody says that, you say, wait a minute, I thought the law was good. It doesn't say that the law is sinful. It says that the law shows us that we are sinful. Come on, is that right? Big difference. The law is good and holy and just. It's not a sinful law. It shows us that we are sinful. Is that right? We had not known unless we had heard, thou shalt not covet. You know what covetousness? Lust. I had not known sin. We'll see that in a moment. Except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. I wouldn't have known I was a sinner. Praise God that he revealed it to us. So here's what he says. Stay with me now. You're doing great. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. If anybody you ever run into is saying to you, I hope I'm going to heaven, I'm trying to keep the commandments, nobody can keep the commandments and get to heaven. Is that right? Yes or no? There was a young ruler who said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? All the commandments have I kept from my youth up. That wasn't true. Jesus said, here's one thing thou lackest. Go, sell all thy have, and give to the poor. He knew what area he couldn't get rid of. He knew what he couldn't give up. Come on. What was he saying? Hey, young ruler, you cannot serve God and mammon. So I want you to go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And the young man went away, and he couldn't do it. You know what he did? He broke the commandment. Come on, is that right? Yes or no? But he was unwilling to admit he was a sinner. The whole purpose of the law is to say to me, Doug Fisher, you've sinned and you need forgiveness. Nobody is justified by the works of the law. Stay with me if you would. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even if we believe that, even we have believed in the Lord Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Watch it. For by the works of the law shall, you say it, no flesh. That means Old Testament, that means New Testament. That means tribulation, that means any time, no flesh. Is that what it says? No flesh be justified. Why? The law was not given to justify us, it was given to condemn us. Are we all right with that? And by the way, he did that because he loves us. Let me say it again. I don't get it. He gave us a law to condemn us because he loves us? Yes, because everybody must die before they're resurrected. Everybody must go through humility and see that they've sinned before. Everybody must see, what did the law do? It said to Doug Fisher, you've got the old Adam in you. You've fallen. You've sinned. Let me say it again. What did the law say to Doug Fisher? You've got the old Adamic nature in you. You've fallen. You've sinned. You can't get there on your own good works. But look, I'm better than some other people, but you're not better than the law. You've never, ever, ever lived the law perfectly. Hey, you know when I broke the law for the first time? Before I even knew it. When I lied to my mother before I even knew that I was lying. Where'd that come? From the old nature. And you did too, sir, ma'am. Did you do that, Doug?
No.
I just broke the law right there. Yes or no? But Doug, Doug, did you stick your hands in the peanut butter?
No.
Then what's the peanut butter on your hands? What was that? That was a lie. And lying breaks the law. Come on, yes or no? So the idea is no flesh shall be justified by the works of the law. Let's go a little further. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. You're doing great. Stay with me. You say, this doesn't make sense. If you're saved, it will. If you're not, once you get saved, it will make sense. Romans chapter 3. Oh, don't miss it. Romans chapter 3. Everybody over there doing well? All right. Look what he says in verse 20. Therefore, verse 20, by the deeds of the what? Law, Old Testament, there shall be no flesh, he says it twice, be justified in his sight. Wait a minute, look at the next little statement. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. I would have not even known there was sin unless the law had told me there is sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. You say, explain that to me. Look at Romans 7. Look at Romans 7. You're doing great. Romans 7. Watch Romans 7 and notice verse number 7. Romans 7, 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? What's the answer? No, God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. Remember, the law is our schoolmaster. It teaches us that we have sinned. For I had not known lust except the law had said, say it, thou shalt not covet. Is that one of the commandments that was written in the table of stone? Is that one of the commandments written in the table of stone? Thou shalt not covet. You know what that tells me? I've got lust. I've sinned. He said, I had not known sin except the law had said, as a schoolmaster, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. Watch. For I was alive without the law once. Wait a minute. But when the commandment came, when the law was revealed to him, when he understood, thou shalt not covet, when the commandment came, sin revived, and I what? Died. All right, here's what he just said. Thou shalt not covet. Oh, I've coveted. I know I have. Oh, sin revives. I've got to die. I'm condemned. How do I get out of this sin? What can I do? There's only one solution. The Savior. What gives him the right to be the Savior? He fulfilled the law. He lived it perfectly. He's the Lord of the law. He can say, hey, if you're in Christ Jesus, I am no longer going to impute that law to you. Therefore, where there is no law, there is no transgression. Are we all right with that statement? Oh, wait a minute now. You believe we're lawless? Oh, no, 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 no. There's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Are we all right with that? Let me make a statement to you. You see, in this law, there are 10 commandments. There are the blood of bulls and goats, and there are all the feast days and all the ordinances. Is that right? Yeah. Look up here now. Lump it all together. 10 commandments, blood of bulls and goats, feast days, all the ceremonial stuff they have to do. Lump that all together. Please, lump that all together. Wait a minute, what's over here? The 10 commandments are contained in 2. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And thou shalt do what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. And then that contains all of that. Is that right? Well, where's all the blood of bulls and goats? It's replaced by the blood of Christ. There's no more remembrance of sin every year. We don't have a day of atonement. We have one day of atonement for eternity, and that's it. Come on, is that right? Yes or no? Where's all the feast days? Don't have to do them. Where's all the daily sacrifices? Don't have to do them. Wait a minute. Let me go back and say this again. Lump all of this together. The law in the Old Testament contained the Ten Commandments. It contained the ceremonial type of ordinance that they had to follow, what they could eat, what they couldn't eat. They had the blood of bulls and goats, and that all pertained to the flesh, and nobody could keep it. But over here is a new covenant, a new testament, and you have 2 commandments that contains all those, and the blood of bulls and goats, and as long as you pray, you can eat what you want. Because we're in liberty. Come on, is that right? Well, what does this law pertain to? The conscience. The thought life. Ye have heard in old times it have been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. Is that right? This law is not set up to condemn us. It's set up to give us life and fellowship and the abundant life with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are no longer under that law that pertains to the great white throne judgment. We're now under this New Testament law that pertains to the judgment seat of Christ. Are we all right with that? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What does that have to do with fellowship? Stay with me now. That's why the Seventh-day Adventists have it wrong. That's why Catholics have it wrong. That's why Mormons have it wrong. Come on, are you listening to me? They're all trying to work their way to heaven through the Old Testament law. You can't get to heaven through the Old Testament law. I don't care if you start with faith and then put works in on it. It won't work. It's all faith. It's all Jesus Christ. It's all the New Testament in the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, I don't get that. Look up here. Put the commandments, the ministration of death written in stones. Don't miss that. Put the blood of bulls and goats in here. Put all the ceremonial stuff in here. Come on. You say, wait a minute, I don't quite get that. Look at Romans 7. Stay with me. Romans 7. Look at verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, that's us, for I speak to them that know what? Say it, the law. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now, he goes into the marriage. The woman hath a husband, is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. If the husband be what? Dead. She is loosed from the law of her husband. Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the what? Wait a minute. You know what a Seventh-day Adventist will say? Ceremonial. Wait a minute. Context. Wherefore, my brethren, you're also become dead to the law. What law? The Old Testament law. Verse 7. Come on. Lump them all together. Don't miss the context. Watch what it says. Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another. Statement, look up here. You can't be married to the Old Testament law and the New Testament law at once. That's adultery. It's impossible. Those that are saying, well, I started by faith, but I got to go back and keep the Old Testament law, they're messed up in their scripture and they're under bondage. We all right with that? Stay with me. If you say, I don't believe with this, I got more scriptures. Stay with me now. Stay with me. He says this. Verse 4, wherefore my beloved, my brethren, ye also become dead of law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For we, when we were in the flesh, the most of the sins which were by the law, what law? Old Testament law. Not just ceremonial law, Old Testament law. Did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death from the what? Say it. Law. That being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the, say it. Everybody say it, what? Underline letter, because the letter killeth. You say, wait a minute, was that the ceremonial law? It was the whole entire Old Testament law. Are we all right with that? Well, how do we know that? Verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Ten Commandments. Are we all right with that? Here's what they try to do. They try to separate the Ten Commandments from the ceremonial law. You can't do that. That's not scriptural. Are we all right with that statement? You can't say, well, the tables are still in place. Wait a minute. Well, then you're saying we're without commandment? Oh, no. They're all contained in thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. They're all in there. Is that right? Come on now. Stay with me. Oh, yeah, it's true. You see, Mormons say you got to keep the law. Seventh-day Adventists say you got to keep the law. Hey, Catholics say you got to keep the law. And I'm not condemning the people. I'm condemning the doctrine. You can't keep the law. It's impossible. And what they're saying is, well, we're married to Christ, but you also got to keep the commandments. That's adultery. We all right? Hey, I didn't write the Bible. I'm just reading it. Thou shalt not covet is a commandment. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We all right still? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. See, I'm not quite getting it. Brethren, you say, well, wait a minute. What about all those commandments? They're all contained in two. Stay with me. We're getting there. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And with 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let's do this. Let's just go back and look at the Old Testament for a moment. Hey, we're doing great. Look at Exodus 34. 2 Corinthians 3 and Exodus 34. Say, man, I didn't know we were coming to study. Oh, study to show thyself approved. You're doing great. 2 Corinthians 3, and Exodus 34. And by the way, if you're kind of going, man, I'm not quite getting it, keep going. You'll get it. The purpose of the law is death to the old man. The purpose of the New Testament law is life in the new man. Is that right? Let me say it again. You're getting 2 Corinthians 3 and you're picking up Exodus 34. The purpose of the Old Testament law is death to the old man. The purpose of the New Testament law is life to the new man. We're all right with that? And fellowship with our God. Oh, yeah. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 3, everybody. I'll go fast. Verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with who? The Spirit. Who writes the New Testament law in our hearts? It's the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of what? Stone. What's that referring to? Moses' tables. By the way, there were two tables, is that right? Do you remember when he came down with the first one? He had them all written, is that right? He came down and saw them dancing naked in the calf, and he threw it down and broke it. What? They'd already broken it. So he goes back up again and says, all right, bring up another one. Bring up another stone. We'll write them all over again. We're going to look at it in just a moment. Are we all right? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 again. Not in tables of stone, verse 3, but in fleshly tables of where? The heart. Verse 6, watch. Who also hath made us able ministers of the new what? New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter, do you remember Romans 7, the letter of the law? The letter does what? Kill us. What's the purpose of the tables of stone? To kill us. We have to use them lawfully. Why did God give that? To kill us. So we would see our need for a Savior. Otherwise, we would say, let's all work our way there. For by grace are we saved through what? Say it. Faith. Not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. Nobody's going to boast their way into heaven. Nobody gets there by the works of the law. That's using it unlawfully. And that grieves the Spirit. Stay with me. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth what? Life. The letter killeth. That's Old Testament law. Let me say it again. Look up here, please. The letter killeth. Tables of stone, commandments, blood of bulls and goats, all the feast days. But the Spirit giveth life. Two commandments that contain all the commandments of the law and the prophets. We'll get that in a minute. The blood of Christ. Liberty. That's life. We all right? You sure? Look at verse 7. But if the ministration of, say it, death, written and engraven where? In stones. Brother, those tables of stones were death. Was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of the countenance of glory was to be done away. How shall the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Verse 9. For if the ministration of what? Condemnation. What's that talking about? The tables of stone. Old Testament. Be glory. Do you see, brethren, that it's condemnation, that it's death? The law, Old Testament law, used lawfully, does not give life. It gives only death. Look at Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Watch how it goes now. Exodus 34. Everybody still all right? Exodus 34. This will explain some things to you and get you in liberty. The truth shall make us free. Exodus 34. In Exodus chapter 34, this is the second table. When he goes back up again, look at verse 1. Exodus 34, 1. The Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these table the words that were in the first table which thou breakest. So what does he do in verse 4? He hewed out two tables of stone like unto the first, and he goes up with those two tables of stone. And you know what God begins to do? He talks about the covenant again. The covenant. The covenant. The covenant. And he starts giving some commandments. Look what he says in verse 17. Watch. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. He doesn't want them to do idolatry. But look what he does in verse 18. The feast of unleavened bread shall that keep. You know what he's saying? hey, here's the tables of stones, and we're going to write those Ten Commandments, but it also pertains to the feast also. You can't separate the two. If you start looking at Exodus 34, it's commandments. Look at verse 21. 6 days thou shalt work. That's a commandment. But on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In airing time and in the harvest thou shalt rest. And look at verse 22. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks and the first fruits of the wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering. You can't separate the two. Verse 23. Thrice in the year shall your men children appear before the Lord your God, the God of Israel. Brethren, now watch what he says. Verse 27. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these, say it, words. For after the what? Tenor of these words. Whoa. After the tenor, the meaning of these words, the concepts, the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat, drink, nor drink water. That's a fast. You say you really believe that? 40 days, no bread, no water. I wouldn't try it if I were you. If you say, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take some tables of stone, go up onto a mount, and I'm going to wait for God to write down what he wants me to do. It's already been written. And I'm not going to eat or drink till I come down. Well, you're dead then. God only did that with one man. Watch what he says, the tenor now. And he wrote down, verse 28, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the what? Covenant, the Ten Commandments. What's he going to do with those tables? I'm going to bring them down. I'm going to put it in the Ark of the Covenant. But you know what Jesus Christ is going to do? He's going to live the whole thing perfectly and fulfill the law and spoil principalities and powers. Colossians chapter 2. How did he spoil principalities and powers? Because the devil has no longer any hold on us because we're in Christ Jesus. If Jesus Christ would have broke one of those covenants, Jesus would have had to battle with the devil, and the devil could have rose up and said, see, you sin, I sin, therefore I can be Lord. But because he lived imperfectly, Jesus goes in the wilderness and fasts 40 days and 40 nights. And the first thing Satan does when he comes out and says, command these stones to be made bread. You know what he was trying to do? Get him to sin. Is that right? Why? Because if Jesus would have sinned, we would have all been condemned under the law. Then it would have been a free-for-all who was going to be God. You know what the law did? When Jesus lived it perfectly, it condemned us and it condemned the devil. Is that right? When the Lord lived the law perfectly and fulfilled it, it condemned me. But it also condemned the devil. There's a difference between me and the devil, though. I decided to admit I was a sinner, receive Christ as Savior, and now I'm no longer in that Old Testament killing law. I'm under the New Testament law of life. You say, where's the devil? He's back over there still. Come on, is that right? He's still under the letter of that law. And so are all those who are unsaved. In this world, there are only two kinds of people. Children of the devil and children of God. Come on now. 1 John says that. There's only two kinds of people, children of God and children of the devil. You say, how do you change from being a child of the devil to a child of God? You admit you're a sinner and receive Christ as Savior and let Jesus Christ nail that law to the cross. Brethren, when he nailed those ordinances to the cross, it wasn't just the blood of bulls and goats. He nailed it all to the cross. Everything that was contrary to us, against to us, everything that was a curse to us. Are you listening to me? He nailed it all up there. And then he came over here and he said, now, let me explain to you, you are under a new covenant. It's not in the flesh anymore, it's in your conscience. Where are the tables now, Lord? Oh, they're written in your heart now. What writes them there? The Spirit of the living God. You have a law written in your heart now. Are we all right with that? Come on now. Nail the whole thing over there. Nail the whole thing. Get the whole thing nailed. Don't say, well, I want to keep part of it. Nail the whole thing, because that's what Jesus did. Then come over here and say, here's what I understand. I'm not supposed to love the Lord. I'm supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind, which means no idolatry. And I'm supposed to love thy neighbor as thyself. And that contains all the law and the prophets. Are we all right with that? See, that's where people stumble. Come on, here we go. Watch what he says. Verse 28. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't need to eat bread or drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. That's the ministration of what? Death. The ministration of combination. The letter killeth. The curse, the law of sin and death. Look at Romans chapter 8. Now, don't miss this. Everybody still okay? I'm going to keep asking because I want you to get this. I'm not worried about whether or not you think I'm a good preacher. I'm worried about whether or not you get the truth. Come on, Romans 8. And with Romans 8, would you look at Matthew 22? Romans 8, Matthew 22. You say, brother, you're going to break the commandment. You're going past 12:30. It's not written in stone, amen? Come on. You're doing well. I'm going to go quickly. Romans chapter 8 and Matthew 22. You've got to get the rest of this. About four more scriptures and we're finished maybe. Romans 8, Matthew 22. You know it, but I want you to see, especially if you're new to our church. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no what? Condemnation. To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of what? Say it. Life. Then we know that's New Testament. In Christ Jesus hath made me what? Free. He came to proclaim liberty. The truth shall make you what? Free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of what? Sin and death. Statement. The law is not sinful. But the law condemns us as sinners. There's nothing wrong with the law in the Old Testament. You say, wait a minute, I don't quite get that. You're holding your place in Matthew 22. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. This will explain it. Hebrews chapter 7. By the way, I realize, hey, man, how long is he going to go? Keep going with me. Come on, Hebrews chapter 7. We had to tell you about the scripture printing. We had to have some music. We had to sing some songs. We had to have the announcements. We had to have all that. And now we have to have preaching. Come on, Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Now watch, Hebrews chapter 7. Look at verse 19. For the law made nothing what? Perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Wait a minute, let's look at that again. Look over here. For the law, Old Testament over here, made nothing what? Perfect. Look over here. But the bringing in of a better hope, Jesus Christ, and His New Testament did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. How do we draw nigh unto God? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. A set of rules that says, here's the way you live your life for the abundant life, and here's how you get closer to God. By living these rules written in the tables of your heart under the blood of Christ, your conscience bearing witness whether you're doing right or wrong. That's why we're in church this morning. We didn't come to work our way to salvation. This is not a mass. You say, why do you say that? Because they say, come to mass. We'll help you get to heaven. We're not going to crucify the Lord over again today. He's been crucified, dead, and buried, and now we're risen unto life. We're not going to re-crucify Him again. We're going to tell you, though, how you can get closer to God. Draw nigh to God for power, for direction, for wisdom, for guidance, for comfort. Wait a minute. Look at chapter 8. Brother, we could read the whole Bible. It's all good. Chapter 8. Look at verse 6. But now, verse 6. But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry. Watch. By how much also he is the, say it, mediator of a what? Better covenant. Wait a minute. Better than what? Better than the Old Testament. Why? The Old Testament has ordinances and the blood of bulls and goats, and it was tables, and they were just trying to keep the works of the flesh. That new one deals with the conscience and draws us closer to God. It's a better covenant in the blood of Christ. Wait a minute. And the Holy Spirit's given. That's so key. The Holy Spirit's given. After Jesus Christ was glorified, the Holy Spirit's given, and now He lives in our heart. And He says, let's keep our walk with God today. And that old man comes up again, and we say, Holy Spirit, kill the old man. Kill him. He's a sinful, old, dirty creature that will not be subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But that new creature inside of you says, let's live for God today. Watch what he says. The meaning of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Hebrews 8:7. For if that first covenant, Old Testament, had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Now he explains it. For finding fault with who? Them. It wasn't the law, it was people. There's nothing wrong with the law. There's nothing wrong with the commandments. It's just the people that were at fault. Come on, is that right? That's where we entered in. We're all at fault. We're all guilty of breaking the Old Testament law. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Who's the them? It's the house of Judah and the house of his people. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Old Testament, tables of stone. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Why? They couldn't keep it. Does this all make sense? It does to me perfectly. And there's liberty in this. To know that we don't have to keep the commandments. Wait a minute. But we should stay in the law of the Holy Spirit. But wait a minute. The Old Testament law dealt with actions in the flesh. The New Testament law deals with the desires of the heart, which changes our thoughts, which changes our actions. And we can be free. You know what? I'm telling you this. God can free us from coveting. I don't want your wife. No offense. There's not a desire in my heart for your wife. I don't think about your wife that way. I'm free from that. I don't lust after your wife. Don't take it wrong, ladies. I don't want her. Oh, I'm so offended. You don't want me to want you. You're a sister in Christ. I can pray for you. I can comfort you. I can help you. I can feed you. But I'm not going to want to be your husband. You don't want me to be your husband. You don't want me to want to be your husband. I'm not worth it. Your fellowship with God is more important than me. Come on, amen? And there can be purity. The fault was not with the law. The fault was with us. Now, wait a minute. We're almost done. Look again at Matthew 22. You're holding your place there. You're doing great. Is everybody kind of getting this? And by the way, if you say, man, this is all so new to me, I'm not getting it. Go study it. Go study it. Go study it. Almost done. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And there's different places where we can talk about how he slayed the enmity between us and how he took it out of the way, talking about the law, Ephesians 2 and Colossians chapter 2, where he nailed it to the cross. But let's stop right here, right where we need to stop. Matthew 22, verse 37. Verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two, what? Commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know what he says? I'm taking away the first, but I'm establishing the second. I'm not leaving you without rule. I'm going to write something in your heart. You're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. You're supposed to give him everything, no idols. And you're supposed to love thy neighbor as thyself. There, if you'll understand that, those are the two commandments, and all the rest are contained in there. Somebody says, you Baptists are without law. No, we're not. We have a law. We have a set of rules. We just believe that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law by living it perfectly, and now he's established the second. And we don't walk around thinking that we might sin our salvation away. Because sin is not imputed when there is no law. When the Old Testament law was put on that tree, nailed, when we accepted Christ as Savior, when that enmity was slain, Ephesians chapter 2, that sin is no longer imputed to you and I. We're in Christ Jesus. Does that mean we're free to do what we want to do? No. He implanted in us the Holy Spirit that says, I'm going to change your desires. And we're going to kill off that old man. In fact, I got to tell you this. Because we have the Holy Spirit in us, and don't take this wrong, we can walk in a more holy way than they could in the Old Testament. And we can draw nigh. We don't come to a mountain on fire anymore. We come with boldness to the throne of God, and we can have sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. I make this statement, we're done. There's only two kinds of people in this room today. You're either under the Old Testament law, or you're under the New Testament law. Look at this. You're either a child of the devil or a child of God. Stay with me now. You say, wait a minute, what should I do first if I'm not sure? Let the Old Testament law kill you. Admit you're a sinner. Not because of my rules, but because of the law and the commandments that you and I have both broken. Stay with me now. Well, what do I do once I admit I'm a sinner and I've sinned? Then you ask for forgiveness. Well, who has the right to forgive? The one that became sin for us who did no sin. Look up here. He became sin for us, and the law condemned him, and he died, and all the wrath of the law came upon him in our place. All your sins, all my sins, all God's wrath hung on the cross that day, and now we no longer have to expect that wrath, because when we get saved, we're in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus said, I took that all for you. You're not going to have that anymore. Now you can be free by grace. He became sin for us that knew no sin and was cursed in our place. And because of that, we live without facing the wrath of God in Christ Jesus. You say, I don't get it. He said, I didn't sin. I fulfilled the law. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll become sin for you who knew no sin. And I'll take your place. All you have to do is trust me as Savior. We said it's already done. Oh, no. You've got to apply the blood. You've got to receive it. Personally. Your parents can't receive it for you. You personally have to receive it yourself. If you're a member of a Baptist church, that doesn't mean you received it. You say, I grew up Baptist. Doesn't mean you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Just means culturally you went to church. We all right with that? You have to receive Christ as your personal Savior, admitting to Him you're a sinner, and then asking for forgiveness, that Christ might save you from the wrath that the law will bring upon you. And then He does this. When you receive Christ as your Savior, He says, I'm taking this whole law, and I'm nailing it to my cross. And I'm taking it out of the way. You're no longer under the schoolmaster. The schoolmaster did its job. And you now have the knowledge of sin. And you've humbled yourself and asked for forgiveness. You're no longer under that schoolmaster. You are now under the law of life. Amen. To have fellowship with God. Now walk with me, draw near, and let's use your life for my glory. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Not because what I did, because what He did. The truth shall make you free. If you've never received Christ as Savior, why don't you cross over into the New Testament? The New Covenant, a better covenant. How do you do it? Only through one door. What's His name? The Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Look up here. Buddha won't do it. Come on now. Joseph Smith won't do it. The Pope can't do it. Don't be offended. Don't be offended. Charles Taz Russell didn't know what he was talking about. Are you listening to me? What did? They man-made Jeroboam religions. They set up golden calves and said, here be thy gods. And millions have gone after them. Come on. The truth is what we just talked about. You're either a child of Satan or you're a child of God. You could cross over today. Right now. Before you leave. And we would love if you did. What do we get out of it? Joy. That's all we get, joy. We get joy in seeing you saved. That's all we get. We get joy knowing that you believed in Jesus Christ, our Savior. We get joy. We don't get any points. We're not looking for points. We're just looking for you to have something that we have that's free. That'll change your destination for all eternity. And we'll rejoice with you. If you're already saved, Hey, don't bring that old law up. That's what the Galatians tried to do. Don't bring that old law up. Let it be where it's supposed to be. It's already done its job. You're dead to it now. Well, what am I alive to? Two commandments contains all that. The blood of Christ and liberty. Liberty to do what you want? No, liberty that no more will that have dominion over us anymore. The old man, put him under that law and let him be killed daily. And the Holy Spirit give us life. Oh, I hope you get it with your heads bowed. Don't leave. With your heads bowed, don't leave. If you're in here today, don't leave. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, quickly, let me pray for you, quickly. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know Christ as my Savior. I think I'm under the Old Testament law, and that thing is just convicting me. And I don't know if I've received Christ as my Savior. I don't know if my sin's forgiven. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, my friend, whether you be man or woman, whether you be older than I am or younger than I am, at least let me pray for you. If that's you and you're not sure that you've passed from the letter of death to the letter of life, or if you would, to the spirit of life, please let me pray for you. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you say, Pastor, pray for me? And all I would ask you to do, so I know you're out there, is say, pray for me. Just slip up your hands right now and say, pray for me. I'm not sure of my salvation. Pray for me. Yes, someone else. Thanks for your honesty. Someone else. Someone else, pray for me. I'm not sure of my salvation. Father, please, draw them to yourself. And to us that are saved, may we rejoice in our understanding of the liberty you've given us in Christ Jesus. Oh, I hope somebody will walk out of here today more free than they walked in. Please, give understanding. May they know the truth and that may it set them free. And now may we also, many of us, prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper tonight and examine ourselves whether we be in the faith, whether we have a walk with thee tonight, and may we examine our fellowship with each other in preparation for tonight. Please, may we do that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let's all stand. Please, let's all stand, everybody. Let's all stand. In the Old Testament, they used altars.